When I read about these judgments in the book of Revelation, I always think of Paul's words in the book of Romans, where he says that God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Why is God angry? We like to preach the fact that God is love, don't we? We like to focus on the qualities of God, where He is grace, full of grace and mercy, compassionate, full of everlasting love, and so on. But the wrath of God, that's true as well. That is a factor that needs to be proclaimed also. We need to preach and teach the coming wrath of God on the face of this earth. Why is God angry? Because God, in His love and mercy, sent His Son into this world to die for sin. He came into His own, the Jewish nation. His own received Him not. And instead of accepting Him and receiving Him and making Him their king and finding great peace through Him, they crucified Him. And God promised that there would be a time of repaying what the earth has done, the rejection of His Son. The events that unfold before us in the book of Revelation are horrific events. We've just been through and are still going through, starting into the third year nearly, of a tremendous pandemic that none of us in our lifetime has experienced the likes of. And we think this is bad. We think the condition is terrible. We think this certainly must be the judgment of God. And again, when we look at these events and interpret them literally, we see that this pandemic of coronavirus is minor compared to the judgments that are coming. And this is just a wake-up call for the world, that if you think it's bad now, you just wait until God begins to pour out His wrath upon this earth. Right now, God is being merciful because it's not His will that any should perish. He's giving people every opportunity to repent, to come to Him, to find salvation through His grace. Last week we looked at the first seven judgments called seals. There's a scroll in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne in heaven, and that scroll is sealed up with seven seals. And as those seals begin to be opened, judgments are poured out on the face of the earth. In Revelation chapter 8, we came to the seventh seal. The seventh seal is the blowing of the seven trumpets. The seventh seal contains seven judgments, the seven trumpet judgments. And so tonight, we want to look at those seven trumpet judgments from what the Bible says about them, and then the seven bowls or vials of God's wrath in chapter 16. The seven trumpets are Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 6, all the way through Revelation chapter 11. So we have a lot of reading to do tonight. I trust that you'll follow along in your Bibles. I think that's the way that you're going to glean the most of what I have to say this evening. But we're just basically going to look at the great tribulation period through the eyes of the book of Revelation tonight. That's simply what we're doing. So the seven trumpets, let's look at Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded. The first angel, there's seven angels that have trumpets. The first one blows his trumpet. And so in verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burnt up. So, hail, fire, and blood. And again, some of these things may be symbolic or figurative. John explaining what he is seeing in the best way that he can, the best words that he can find to use. We can only imagine what John is actually seeing, but John expresses it well enough that we know that these judgments are serious and they are severe. So we're talking about hail, fire, and blood. Trumpet number two, Verses 8 and 9, we see a burning mountain cast into the sea. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And I can only assume that the word sea here is being used in a plural sense. This is affecting all of the seas, all of the oceans of the world. I do not know what this great mountain that's burning with fire is. If it's a localized judgment, it could be the biggest volcanic eruption ever in the history of the earth. Or it could be something astronomical, something from outside the earth that God sends hurling to the earth, and it falls into the oceans and destroys a third of the sea life and a third of the navies in the oceans of the world. Terrible judgment. The third trumpet is a falling star that has a name, Wormwood. Just the name gives you the impression that this is a bitter, destructive, mighty force coming down from the heavens above. In verses 10 through 11, and the third angel sounded, third trumpet, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. The second trumpet judgment affected the seawater, the salt water of the earth. This judgment affects the fresh water, the rivers and the fountains. The word fountains can mean the mountain springs from which the rivers begin. As we were, Debbie and I were watching the TV station last night, I believe it was, where you listen to music while they put scripture verses on the screen. I was thinking about these passages of scriptures and going over this in my mind, and suddenly there was a picture of the most beautiful waterfall cascading down hundreds, maybe thousands of feet to the stream below. And I thought of waterfalls like Niagara Falls that we've had the privilege of standing before and looking up, and it's like, where does all this water come from? It's like it's just coming out of nowhere, and it just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. The fountains of the earth. This star, Wormwood, is going to bitter the fresh water supply of the world. And so this is a judgment of God's wrath. In verse 12, we find trumpet number 4, darkness. Nobody likes darkness. The Bible says men love darkness because their deeds are evil. But when the earth is in a period of darkness, it causes fear, uneasiness, dismay, discouragement, and despair, and what's the word? Depression. When the lights went out in New York City, remember that several years ago? They said the suicide rate skyrocketed because the city was suddenly in darkness. People couldn't handle that. They became so depressed they couldn't handle it. And that was just a few hours. Just a few hours. Can you imagine this darkness? We're in verse 12. And the fourth angel, the fourth trumpet sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. We studied this before. I remember from studying this before that what we're talking about here is a cloud hovering over the whole face of the earth to the point where only one third of the daylight exists. In other words, it's a very dark time on the face of the earth. And we don't know how long this lasts, but it's more than a few hours. And that's a very depressing time and a very frightening time to have that. Here just a few weeks ago, you remember probably the dreary days we had when all the fires were going on. Well, they're still going on, but the fires were really bad out west. several states. The fires were spreading across several states. The smoke ascended up from those forest fires, got into the jet stream, came our way, and every day was just gray and dismal. And it was depressing. At least I was depressed, because where's the sun? You know, where's the light? And you could smell the smoke in the atmosphere, and it was frightening. I remember years ago we were, and I don't remember now why we were in Florida, but maybe I was on a missions trip, but we were traveling through Florida when the Everglades were on fire. And the coastal highway, or whatever highway that is that goes through the Everglades, it was closed for days because the fires were so bad, the smoke was so thick, it was too dangerous to drive this highway. And it was very, very, it was an event. It was a situation I'll never forget. It was frightening. And so this is going to be a terrible darkness on the face of the earth. In verse 13, we have an interlude that includes a warning. And it says, "And I beheld and heard an angel, not one of the seven with trumpets, but another angel, flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." You think the first four trumpet judgments are bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get bad. And the amount of space that the Holy Spirit gives to these last, the trumpets number 5 and 6, indicates the severity of these judgments. Several verses, not just one or two verses, but several verses are given to these trumpet judgments, numbers 5 and 6. Verses 1 through 11 of chapter 9, we have another falling star from the heavens. The bottomless pit is opened, and hundreds of thousands of tormentous locusts come out and torture men for 5 months. Let's read about it. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were again darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power." I don't know about you, but I don't like scorpions. I spent 18 months in Texas in the Air Force, and the scorpions were so thick there in the area of Texas where I was stationed, that after a rain, they were like fishing worms. When it rained, they would come out and they would be everywhere. And there would be dead scorpions squashed all over the roads. You could just see them by the hundreds. And one night, and we were warned that some of these scorpions here in Texas are deadly. I mean, normally they're not. Their sting is not fatal, but it can be. And even if it's not fatal, you wish it was. You wish it would have been, because it's so painful. And one night I got off from work at midnight, and I came to my dorm room. And I opened my door, as I always do. And I reached inside to turn on my light. And as my hand hit the light switch, it also hit something big and fuzzy. And I thought, oh no. I gave it a fling, and I heard it actually plop on the floor. And I turned the light on, and there was a huge scorpion about that big around, laying in the middle of my floor. Anyway, back to our text here. Scorpion. I don't like scorpions, and I'm glad I'm not going to be here for this judgment. Let's start in verse 4 again. Chapter 9, verse 4. "And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth." Now, when it says that, there have been critics who said, oh, well, then the Bible's not true, because over in chapter 8, all the grass was burnt up. We don't know how many months are between chapter 8, verse 7, and chapter 9, verse 4. It could have been several months. The grass could have grown back. You know, I'm not gonna say the Bible is full of errors because of that minor detail. But it's commanded these scorpions that they do not hurt any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men. which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. They are going to know the saved from the unsaved, and they are coming to torture the unsaved. And to them, verse 5, it was given that they should not kill them, and that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth was as the teeth of women, teeth of lions. They're like nothing the world has ever seen. Do you remember when these stink bugs showed up here a few years ago? The ugliest creatures I think I've ever seen. Now, I take that back. There's one creature that's uglier, and that's a turkey vulture. Oh, I can't stand those birds. But those stink bugs, if you really take a magnifying glass and look at them, they are horrible-looking creatures. These locusts that have a scorpion-like sting, they are horrible-looking creatures. I'm not sure what John saw, but I'm glad I didn't see it. Verse 9, they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. John repeats that fact, so that's significant. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. And then in verse 12, listen, John says, one woe is past. Remember, woe, woe, woe on the face of the earth. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And so in verse 13, we have, verse 14, we have an interlude that goes down through chapter 9, verse 1. And that interlude has a warning. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. What have I done here? Chapter 10. I have chapter 9, 1 through 11. We just read that, okay? Trumpet number 6. Here we go. I got it. Trumpet number 6. In verses 12 through 21, the last half of chapter 9, the sixth trumpet is four demons, fallen angels, angels of death, and a vast cavalry, an army of horsemen. Let's read about it. Revelation chapter 9, verses 12 through 21. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying unto the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year. This plague is going to last 13 months, one day, and one hour. Imagine that. And it's worse than the coronavirus pandemic. And for that time period, for those 13 months, one day and one hour, they are going to slay, these death angels, these demons, are going to slay the third part of men. A third of the world's population is going to be killed. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, that's 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. But these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and within them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Men did not repent the judgments of God being poured out, and yet men, their hearts become hardened and bitter. So the trumpet judgments grew in intensity and severity, and yet there's no change in the hearts of mankind. They continue to worship Satan and the idols. Revelation chapters 10 and 11 through chapter 11, verse 14 is another interlude, like chapter 7, where John left talking about the opening of the seven seals. And in chapter 7 there, he talks about the 144,000 Jewish witnesses and the people that are getting saved through their ministry. They're dying. They're becoming martyrs. They're appearing under the altar in heaven. And they're entering heaven very rapidly. But here in chapters 10 and 11, it's another interlude like that. John steps aside to describe something else, something he doesn't even have permission to write about. It's so horrifying. It's something that John cannot talk about. He speaks in chapters 10 and 11. John speaks to an angel who many believe is Jesus Christ himself. And I can't argue that point. I tend to agree with them. And this angel is talking to John about things which he's not going to permit John to write about. The only thing we're told is that in this angel's hand, there's some kind of a little book. We're not told what's in the book, but he tells John to take this little book and eat it. He says, in your mouth, it's going to be sweet like honey, but in your stomach, it's going to be bitter. It's going to make you so sick. Also in John chapters 10 and 11, we hear about the two prophets who are sent to the earth. Again, people believe that perhaps is Moses and Elijah. Others believe it's going to be Enoch and Elijah, because Enoch and Elijah were the two men who never died physical deaths, as far as we know. They were translated. They were taken to heaven without dying. There's going to be two prophets that are going to come to the earth, and for 42 months, those 3.5 years, while all these judgments are taking place on the earth, they're going to be prophesying, they're going to be preaching, proclaiming the salvation by God's grace through Jesus Christ. And then soon after, after these 42 months are nearly over, the beast comes up out of the bottomless pit, and he overcomes these two witnesses and he kills them. And their bodies lay in the streets. I think that means they're going to be on display for satellite TV to broadcast all over the world. Finally, these two guys are gone. These two guys we hated so much. They kept telling us about God's wrath and God's judgment and God's justice. And we were so tired, so sick of hearing that. Finally, they're gone. We're rid of them. But guess what? After 3.5 days, they come back to life. They come back to life, but like the Lord Jesus Christ, soon after they come back to life, they ascend up into heaven. They ascend into heaven. And so now, in Revelation 11:15, we come to the seventh trumpet, finally, the seventh trumpet. Trumpet number 7, we see three things here. We see the Lord Jesus Christ assuming reign over the earth. He takes the earth away from the Antichrist. He takes it away from Satan. He prepares to set up his kingdom, which is going to be forever and ever. In Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 17, the prophets and the saints are rewarded. I tend to think that this is the judgment seat of Christ taking place in Revelation 11:18. I can't be dogmatic about that, but It's comparable to the passages of Scripture that Paul talks about, where we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and every man receive a reward for the things that he did in his body, whether good or bad. The prophets and the saints of God are going to be rewarded, Revelation 11:18. And then in Revelation 11:19, one verse, but it's a powerful verse, God's temple in heaven is opened and we see a glimpse of his glory. So that's trumpet number 7. Let's read about it. Trumpet number 7, Revelation 11, starting in verse 15, and the rest of the chapter. And the seventh angel sounded, seventh trumpet. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which we see throughout the book of Revelation, they're surrounding the throne, and their primary function seems to be worshiping God, bowing down, giving glory to God. The 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, verse 17, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there were seen in his temple the ark of the testament, the ark of the covenant. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. The seventh trumpet. It's assumed that the events of the seven trumpets stretch clear over into the pouring out of the seven bowls of God's wrath in chapter 16. So go over to chapter 16, and we see the seven bowls or vials. My Bible, the King James uses the word vial. When I was a kid, I used to read this passage of Scripture and think that what John was seeing here was like a little test tube out of a laboratory somewhere, and the angels were just going to pour it out on the earth, and wow, look out, here it comes. But the word vials means literally a bowl that's large enough that it requires two hands to hold it. But in these bowls, we see the judgment of God continuing and becoming more and more severe. People become covered with horrible sores in the first bowl judgment, or the first vial. Verses 1 and 2, Revelation 16, 1 and 2. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying unto the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Unsaved people are going to be covered with sores. They're going to be noisome, a lot of noise, because people are going to be screaming and crying in anguish for these sores that they're covering their bodies that they can't get rid of. And they're going to be grievous because they last a long time and they don't heal up easily. The second vial, in verse 3, the sea is turned to the blood like the blood of a dead man. I can't even begin to imagine what that is. And much that's accompanied by much death. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Every living soul, I believe, is referring to all sea life in the sea. And if there happened to be any humans out there, it would include them as well. Every living being, the word soul talks about every living being. And then the third vial, the rivers and fountains, again the mountain springs or the waterfalls become blood in verses 4 through 7. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. They deserve this judgment that they're getting. Verse 7 also, And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Verses 8 and 9, the fourth bowl judgment, vial number 4, the sun becomes so intensely hot that the earth is scorched. Verses 8 and 9, And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Vial number 5, darkness and physical torment. Again, darkness. Verses 10 and 11, And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And then vial number 6, three frog-like demons summoned the nations of the earth to the battle of Armageddon. Verses 12 through 16. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. These three demons are going to call the nations of the world to this spot where they're going to be destroyed, the battle of Armageddon. And then finally, vial number 7, a massive earthquake followed war, accompanied by hail. The city of Babylon is destroyed. The cities of the earth collapse. Revelation chapter 16, beginning in verse 17, And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. The language that's used here. Can you imagine? We've seen some destructive earthquakes in our age, in our day. We have never seen anything like this. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Can you imagine an earth that's going to be so topographically changed that there's not going to be any more islands out there? There's not going to be any more mountains. West Virginia's in trouble, Brother Zach. There'll be no more mountains and no more islands. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent. A Greek talent is 57 pounds. 57-pound hailstones. I'm not sure where the English Standard Version comes up with its figures, but they say these hailstones are going to be 100 pounds each, minimum of 100 pounds. Regardless, they're going to be destructive. And men, when these hailstones start coming down, men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. They don't turn to God. They don't fall upon God and ask for mercy. And they don't repent. They blaspheme God. Their hearts are hardened. There are people in this world today whose hearts are hardened, but the Holy Spirit of God still is on the earth. He lives in you and I. And again, He is God. And we keep repeating this, but it is so true. There is nothing impossible with God. There is no heart so hardened on the face of the earth tonight that the Holy Spirit cannot change that heart. But it's going to take the prayers of the saints. It's going to take the witnessing of the saints. It's going to take the preaching of the saints. We must do our duty. Many of these people will not listen. They will be hardened and they will go into the tribulation period in darkness. And they will believe a lie that the Antichrist has all the answers and he is God. And all we need to do is listen to him and follow him. And they're going to follow him to their death. To their death. God have mercy on those who live on the earth during that time period. May we do our part during this time period to reach as many of them as we can. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. This passage, these passages of Scripture that we've talked about tonight, they really don't need a lot of explanation. It's pretty clear what's going on the face of the earth during those last 3.5 years of tribulation, and it is an awesome sight. I'm glad I wasn't in John's shoes and had to record all this. What he saw was horrifying. But he faithfully wrote it down so that we could be warned of the judgment to come. So that we could know it's true. The vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And Father, I pray that we will do our part to fervently pray and seek to witness and win souls for Christ. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.